when I was at the Chase Center, we had Square come in and build us a custom, like, kind of a framework for everything to kind of specifically fit the arena and everything and all the different outlets.
That's a huge customer for them. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, exactly. We'll come in and customize. That's neat. Yeah.
So if your restaurant brings in 18,000 people a day, mm-hmm. then you then probably you get check. Them to come in and do the same thing. Welcome. This is Kitchen and Confidential. I am Norwood.
I'm Javier.
And I'm Alondra.
And we are here to talk to you about our new series. This is Cream, Cash Rules Everything Around Meals. And today we're going to be looking at our latest series on where to spend those hard-earned dollars, or as they say down under, the dollaroos, to get even more of those hard-earned dollars. We'll be exploring the different ways, areas in the restaurants through this series and talking about the smart ways to spend your money in each, whether it's through automating prep, streamlining the ordering process, or creating signature space in your dining room. We'll be giving you a broad breadth of ideas to take back your location and see where you should be spending for success. We'll have interviews and links to great services. So let's jump into it. This is episode one. Hardware and software. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to be going into a deep dive. We're entering the matrix.
I'm trying to get out.
Yeah. We're going to be looking at the hardware and the software for your restaurant, specifically with ordering and everything that goes into it. Mm-hmm. We're going into point of sale systems, kiosks, menu boards, and more. And we'll be discussed, and hopefully we'll give you lots of new ways to land more sales. So on our quick fire, Javier, what's the first thing that you think of when I say a point of sales now in 2024?
I think I would want hardware and not so much software. And I'll get into that later. But I think POS, I want to focus on what hardware I'm getting from them.
Okay. Yeah. For me, like, how about you? Kind of the same thing. I'm like, when 2024, I'm thinking of like, yeah, like the transition from a register to the new hardware, the new, right. like having a tablet there. Mm-hmm. But that's the first thing that, like, when I see it in my mind, that's different from, like, being a kid, thinking of, like, getting rung up at the store.
That now. Register.
It's, yeah, the register is gone. I'm thinking, right. I see a tablet in my head now. I don't see it.
And we'll dig into the nuances of a POS system, but that's totally. My dream world is that's what I want to think of when I think of a POS that I
So the hardware and software you use in a restaurant can be one of the keys to success or a huge speed bump in your day-to-day routine. Things need to be in harmony, like a gospel choir singing out, you know, but not like that third grader, like a recorder recital, just everyone kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You want everything there to, you know, talk to each other.
Sick. Yeah.
I know you guys, Cheddar Suite, like connects those things. Like when you have these new things like the Square, you want it to be able to talk to each other.
Integration is huge.
Yeah. So there are a lot of tips and tricks we'll go over today, as well as breaking down what the modern landscape looks like with these tools and what have become the new standards. The restaurant industry is slow to adopt new technology, so keeping up to date, you can give yourself an innate advantage that other people miss. Everything in tech, we in the restaurant industry, it's trickle down. You know, we get the last of the butt end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to stay ahead of your competitors. In this episode, we're going to go over seven areas where we can integrate technology or update what you have right now. So let's all buckle up, set the phasers for stun, and dive into our topics.
So point of sales, how far have point of sales come and where do you guys see them going?
So I think like when I brought up like going from an old register to like the tablet now, and it's that immediately. you're not getting handwritten tickets, you know, those things, because you also want to pull the analytics and the data between what your sales are doing. You want stuff to talk to each other. You want your point of sales talking to your, you know, what's happening in the back, so you can set. We've had tools where, and we'll talk about menu boards and stuff like that, and the tools in the back of the house that connect in a second. But being able to adjust like your inventory of like how many you have, if I have 10 chicken sandwiches left, right. to be able to communicate to the front of the house without me having to go reach around a wall and be like, hey, you know, hey, Bill, I only got 10 left, and like doing that. And then if Bill heard you, but Bob didn't. Yeah. And now he's selling 11 sandwiches, and now you got to go to a customer and go, like, you want this thing?
So you want your point of sale to do it all. You want your inventory to be tracked. Okay, because that's a different world. Yeah. There, at first, when point of sale systems literally started, they were just a glorified register.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You going from just entering. And that started with, like, the squares and those kind of systems that were very basic.
And the square, that was, like, such a... kind of like why I wasn't like this, why, and like,
yeah, why didn't
it,
no,
pointed
thing,
out
yeah,
how terrible like the systems were, these old DOS based like giant console like point of sale systems. But you're like, first squares, like, you saw someone with their tablet square
smart.
Set up on it, like the first time I saw it was a food truck, and it's like obviously, and like, how much are they spending on it versus the couple thousand that it takes to get.
I thought it was genius. Staples then goes and says, come and buy it here in a box.
Yeah.
You know, you get your iPad at the Apple store, grab the box here for the register and your card swipers, and now you have a full POS system that, when I was opening up restaurants, I don't want to say the POS systems because they're probably not priced like this anymore because they're still around, but I was paying something like $6,000 a system, a setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and got two for, you know, two front registers, $12,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, and they're glorified registers. Square comes out, it's like, for $600, I can get this? Yeah.
Yeah, it's why, like... The old guard, you know, is pushing those things, and it's so it keeps technology, and that's why the restaurant industry gets technology, you know, the butt end of it, because people at the top are like able to make so much money, like you say, like a couple thousand, over $10,000 for two portals, and what was the hardware compared to like what your laptop you were working off of compared to the hardware they're selling you, the laptop that you probably spent $1,500 on, and the two computers of the same thing they're just telling you, is like, oh, this is $12,000, and like, it looks like my like parents, like when I was like in high school, like,
everything starts expensive, you know, your first computer is thousands of dollars, your first TV thousands, now you can go for $150 and get a TV, you know, so everything does start expensive, and not really for that, like with POS systems, it wasn't really giving me everything I needed. It was just the square was great. It was an introduction from a cash register, but it wasn't giving me all of the features and bells and whistles I needed. That's when I believe a lot of it started coming up with people started doing integrations and other adding. It left a void for something like Cheddar Suite to come along and say, hey, all these POS systems need more bundling or more features in it. But where do you see, what have you used a POS system that you're like, I like these features in it, like that, how it comes out of the box? Or have you seen a lack of, you know, between all these different systems that are out there?
Yeah, definitely have used point of sales. And yeah, they all have pros and cons. Like, so like Square, it's easy to integrate, it's user friendly, but, and all these point of sale systems have like things that are positive about them, like negative. Square, like you use your, like when they came out, threw it on your tablet you had, which was nice. You can use your existing hardware. But it's kind of the cons then, and something you didn't bring up is these different point of sale systems use different credit cards and transaction systems. Yeah, so while Square, you can use your own hardware, get set up in there. And then those, just that style, like, not to use them as, the only one, but that style of like more DIY, put it into, cause there's other, softwares on the market that are in there, but, they have a higher credit card transaction rate. And so that's kind of the one problem with using your own hardware. You can get away with using cheaper tablets and that kind of stuff. But, usually your transactional rate is going to be more, which, is a good thing to get down as low as possible. So groups that do that, banks are good ones, which is also like a point of sales like a partner that I think people don't really think of, even though they're already using banks,
right? Like Clover, I believe, banks with Bank of America, they're partner with them,
and US Bank does another one. Like all those big national banks are using big systems, like big industry standard kind of systems that are giving you pretty comparable products to, you know, Square, Toast, or one of those guys. And you get it free setup, usually from the banks being partnered with them, because they're kind of taking some of that cost of being, of like, we just want this service for our customers to have versus you going out and finding one. So
yeah, losing them as a customer.
And you're in that integrated system for the bank and stuff. So then they're able to give you the lower transactional rates, but you're kind of stuck with that software that they give you. Like, we use Clover, and like, well, I wanted to use this. Like, we use Clover.
Yeah.
That I said.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a con with that. You're forced to kind of go with whatever they've got. And then, like you just mentioned, toast. I feel like that's the closest thing to, like, the old school method, like you were originally talking about, like, they come in with, like, the $10,000 plus system and set you up. Because they'll give you that hardware and stuff.
They'll give you everything.
Mm-hmm. But
that's also, is that it? There's a con to that. I mean, is that I want, my dream world is just a good POS system that I can adapt and put the software I want on it.
Yeah, exactly. With those toasts and stuff, you just lose that customization. And sometimes, like, it feels like those products are always, like, a step out of date. But then you also get, like, one integrated system. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a little three of our, the point of sale systems. Like, those are, the three biggest systems you're gonna find. You gotta kind of like take like what's best for your business. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want the lowest possible transaction rates, which is good for like say if you're doing one item or a couple items at a food truck and just flying those. Like, but what do you?
I ultimately in my restaurants I ended up, which is kind of after using a bunch of different kind of POS systems, I ended up with Aloha. Nice. Because it was almost the middle of the ground amongst all of them, like great rates, great hardware, great customization,
but it's a pretty integrated system.
Yeah, like very integrated system to whatever.
Aloha is like one of those groups that's been around for a minute, so like you recognize the name.
They're NCR, National Cash Register. So they literally started the cash registers in the U.S. hundreds of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I was at the Chase Center, we had Square come in and build us a custom like kind of a framework for everything to kind of specifically fit the arena and everything and all the different outlets.
That's a huge customer for them. Yeah. So they're like, exactly. We'll come in and customize. That's neat. Yeah.
So if your restaurant brings in 18,000 people a day, then you then probably you get them to come in and do the same thing.
Get a custom system.
But if not, then like we said, like Square or something like that, like their regular stuff, you can totally get in there and customize and play around.
Yeah, so we're moving on to the next one, which would be, what are your guys' thoughts on the self-ordering kiosks?
I like them. I mean, at first it was kind of like you're going to lose the customer interaction. You're not going to be, and which is huge in the restaurant industry. I mean, like if you have a host, just real quick tidbit, they say that you have to make contact with that customer coming in within the first 30 seconds. That's when a customer makes up their mind whether they're in a comfortable spot or whether their meal is going to be horrible from that point on. But with a self-ordering kiosk, we've kind of lost that. Now people walk in with a different expectation of like, oh, cool, I get to go in and customize and do what I want to do. The only thing I can kind of like compare it to was when I started fast casual restaurants back in the day. And I took all the soda machines and flipped them and then handed a cup to the customer. It was like, I get to go up and get my own drink and make my own drink. In their mind, it flipped it from like, I'm doing the work to like, how fun, I get to do the work. It was weird. But like, that's exactly kind of what the kiosk is doing. People go, I thought maybe they're not going to like that somebody isn't taking their order anymore. People love that their kids, can jump on and just do the order themselves. And you can customize it and you have all the options. You don't, and especially nowadays, a lot of people they're not really wanting to deal too much with other humans. It's sad to say, but it's like if everything you can do on your phone and you can connect and have delivered, we're kind of getting to that where it's going to transition into your brick and mortar. So I like them. I think it's a great tool that helps, and especially with issues with employee issues and things like that. I mean, it's never going to not show up to work. So, but that, and that being said, I still like I like when restaurants have both. I like when like McDonald's is slowly doing the transition. You can go up to somebody, do the order, but you can still have the tablet, the self-ordering kiosk. And I think they're doing it well as they're transitioning to that. Norwood, what are your thoughts on self-ordering kiosks?
They're good, in places. There's a lot of different styles, I think we should go into. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just a one kind of like fits all kind of thing.
Yep.
And so there's definitely a lot of different types. Like you have your tablet style POS, and that's good for like works off of you have your tablet style point of sales, and a lot of them have some self-ordering features. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing like a food truck and you're up, 3 feet above someone, it's hard to see out that window. Those are great tips. So like you just have a tablet out there. People can put in their thing, do the thing, customization and stuff. And
for pop-ups, like you're saying, great. Those are quick.
Those are killer. Like, that's a good thing too, to know that like Square, those things have like a lot of those check like the customization, the features you have on your stuff. And you might have stuff that you're paying for or using like on your software already, be able to kind of integrate that into what you're doing for free instead of having to go search for another app or like something like that. Yeah, yeah. So you might already have that tool too.
Nice.
I think more of the large market stuff, like McDonald's and stuff, where it's they've got a lot of firepower behind it. Mm-hmm. They can kind of like take a lot of that interactivity that your customer, like your counter service person would have, mm-hmm. and that kind of and they can integrate like you go and you see a lot of graphics come on, and mm-hmm. there's like it's almost like you're having like a conversation with the tablet, the board, like as you're picking and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they do a good job like with like graphic design and like
They're making it fun.
The features,
it's like
because that's a big thing. Like right now,
the rewards and all that part of it.
That's another thing that makes it big too. Right. You see your rewards and you see some of the like easy DIY mm-hmm. like kind of software integrating those rewards things mm-hmm. too now. But that's another thing that it just creates that interaction and that want to like use that by having that reward system. Mm-hmm. So those guys are really doing. And that's a great thing to look at too as a smaller business of like, what are the big guys doing and what can I steal from them? Like, content wise, like what's working for them? So that's another spot where I always say like, see what they're doing. And, the rewards things. Yeah. It just makes you so it's such a stickier like customer. Like, and then
I like that it eliminates the error. There's always going to be error, but I'd rather it be the customer messed up on the POS system and goes, oh my gosh, I ordered a small, not a large, than the other way around. You know what I mean? It's kind of you can't complain. When I same thing, kind of like handing somebody a soda cup and they go refill.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about do I need to go get them refills?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? It eliminates that.
If they don't like the soda, it's like
All right.
Like,
go. Yeah.
You mixed up. You made a little swamp water.
It's up to you. The other thing is all of these tablet companies, all of those, they're pulling data of what their customers are actually ordering.
Yeah.
And tailoring their entire menus based off real data.
And that's data that you can use too and go back, and which is really, really
good. Yeah, where are you making money? Where are you not? Yeah.
The like the ramen style kiosks are nice, where it's just like a board, a button to press, where it does take like the everything off. And that's a little more old school, kind of like developed like setup where they've been using a lot over there. But it's nice for a couple different, like I've seen it a lot integrated, like Asian specific, like the ramen. There's a Korean dessert restaurant that came up recently here. And you go in the front, kind of put yours in, go sit down, relax. And those are kind of nice too. It kind of goes on the McDonald's type stuff too, but it's also like a little more just a little feature in the front where it's not even like you go there, you almost miss it in the front door. And you're like, oh shit, let me put my order in real quick. But it invites the whole dining space is like, dude, just come relax, sit down, find a seat. Like, so like the self-ordering stuff can totally be used to make it like a very inviting, like area.
Olive Garden took that to a whole nother level. They're making the table ones where you order and you can do like, I need a server. I can pay now and leave. I can play games.
That's the biggest one. Another pay level. Now and leave, like not having to wait for someone. Yeah. And then, games for kids.
Like, I know. It's like the parents are like, well, I mean, it's smart. They're using technology.
If kids are happy, like everyone's happy. Like you're getting people back in. That's one of the things like the, people, if they know their kid's going to be happy at your spot, they'll come back over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So another thing that will have people coming back, and Javi kind of, he touched on it. Yeah. About margin of error and everything is communication with the front and the back of house. What are your guys' thoughts on digital ticket boards?
I love those. Like, so when I was with Apple, I was helping develop the, in-house app that used our tablets as menu board or, ticket boards for us on the restaurant side. Mm-hmm. And then the customer could put in their orders from their cell phone or from kiosks, in the cafe. But it was killer because, you know, some of those stations we'd sell 400 bowls of ramen in 2 hours. And so we'd have to, when things, you know, got to an end, we had to make sure we had a hard cutoff. We wouldn't have, because so many orders would come in so quickly. There wasn't really a way, and people would order from like their office coming down. So how do you communicate to them
that we're
out?
That they're cutting out.
Yeah, exactly. So with the app, with the digital ordering board, we were able to put 20 orders left. And so it would tick down.
Oh, wow. So it's counting down.
Or you could put in the original. I've only got 300 orders all day.
That's cool. So the kitchen can go through its quick inventory. Mm-hmm. Go, I only have 40 sandwiches I can get out, or burgers, and then just put it into the system and it it gives that information to the front.
And so, especially if you have like a lot of specials or something like that, as a chef, I can go into and put allergens and mark my menu items for certain allergens. Mm-hmm. And now it's in the system rather than having to hope that, you know, server A communicates to the customer that there's peanuts in this sauce that doesn't say peanut or anything, but it is in there. Like, we fry with peanut oil and make sure, like, it's on your menu, like, or things like these things are communicated and make sure, because, you know, some allergens are insane. I have a friend who's got a shrimp allergy that if it's in the house, like, she's like EpiPen, like, needs it. So, like, you don't want to play telephone with something that can kill someone. Like, that's something you want to message that you want direct.
That's
so,
a great feature. I didn't even know.
So you can put it, mark it, and then especially with those apps, you can filter out. So say I am celiac and don't do gluten or anything like that. I can go hit that, have that on my profile maybe for this group of restaurants. And then so every time I look at a menu, I'm only looking at things that are
fit me. It just keeps improving their experience over and over. No, I don't have to go to the customer and say, hey, I'm sorry you ordered that, but we're out of it now.
That's the big,
you know what I mean? Those kind of things, you're just eliminating all that with technology.
That's like you say, you're eliminating those negative experiences.
Because you know it already. That's the thing, is if you're integrating and you're tying it all together and you're getting that information, I mean, we know it a lot quicker now and it's at our fingertips.
Yeah, and
so
sometimes,
we got to take advantage of that.
And that filters into, like, by empowering the cook on the line and giving him those tools. And say you have your leadership in, is that a spot where you can maybe trim, like, kitchen manager at a fast casual spot and have a team lead instead? And now they're able to communicate and have these tools, because some spots, if
they take the place of that for sure.
Exactly. Because I don't need to go find our kitchen manager to tell the front of the house person, because they're the person that's supposed to tell the front of the house person or whatever.
Right.
Now you don't have these kind of arbitrary setups. Mm-hmm. Like, instead it's, all right, train them how to put it on this, touch this in. You know, I always say, like, if I can trim those, like, higher paid spots that don't necessarily get their hands dirty, I'd rather pay everyone that's getting their hands dirty for me as much as possible.
That was the idea, whole idea of when I started building Cheddar Suite from the ground up. It was more of, there's a lot of information that walks out your door as soon as these employees walk out the door.
Yeah.
And that, there, where's the value of your restaurant? If your restaurant, you know, last 2 years, everyone's like, oh, you've made it, you've made it. It's because you're hopefully lucky you didn't lose that manager in the first year and then first few months.
Yeah.
Or the chef that walks out with your menu.
It's always been,
I mean, it's, right?
You know, you're big on systems.
Yeah.
And it's build the systems that
Are going to maintain the place itself and that are going to grow on itself.
Yeah.
That aren't going to walk out your door. That's the big thing.
And get awesome people. You can still have awesome people that fit in those systems that are also, like, you're going to hate to lose because they're just killer.
They're the ones overseeing it and helping you build those systems. But if you let them go, or they leave because they're
shot in the foot.
Yeah, exactly. Because their family just, you know, is going to move to the East Coast. And your business just doesn't die.
And realistically, if you can keep someone for a year, that's a big plus in the restaurant industry. If you can keep them for 2 years, that's like a life. That's someone that's getting a pension in any other industry. That's like the 40-year pensioner right there. Like 2 years in the restaurant industry. Yeah. Having those systems and having these tools that, like, help facilitate those is awesome to help, like you said, not get your shoot yourself in the foot when you got to let the not even you let them go. It's a positive experience, but
exactly.
I've grown out of this position. I'm going to go start my own restaurant or whatever. It's like, oh shit, I'm fucked now.
His is going to blow up. He's taking all my systems because we never documented. We never put him down. We didn't actually create him into this business. Yep.
Perfect, guys. So speaking about, you know, having somebody for a long time and everything, we're going into tablets and hardware. What, you know, transitioning into that, people that have, that don't have the tablets, and they're going into that, what kind of advice or what would you say about that?
Yeah, getting started into POS systems, I think the most important thing is that you do look first at the hardware and the tablets that it comes with. That's going to, because that, if you need to have people run out and take patio orders, then you have to make sure you're looking at a system that is going to allow them to quickly do that and maybe even charge at the table so they're not running back and forth. You got to look at the efficiency of all of that, because there are a lot of systems out there that will tackle those things. So, I mean, you don't go, oh, because it's cheap, I'm going to get it. It might kill you later and your business later. And then in 4 months go, it was cheap, but now I'm throwing it out to the trash because I should have gotten this. A lot of POS companies will come out and give you they'll show you their hardware. They'll give you, like, we have digital table tents. We have digital QR codes. I'm mind blown at how fast the industry is moving in that world. And everyone, and I think the newest thing is that people are realizing is, to me especially, that it should just be the tablet and hardware, is that a POS company is really, really good at that and developing it. It doesn't mean they're really good at developing all the other systems, and they shouldn't be. I want Apple because it's an awesome phone and hardware. Am I buying it because of all the different apps? No, I'm buying it because they allowed the system to be open to all those different apps.
Yeah.
You know, they don't own the, like, I would never buy a phone and goes, but here's the phone app you need to use. Here's the chat app you need to use. Here's the this. That's exactly, I think, the world that tablets and hardware needs to go to. They're really good at that. And then let the industry run loose on the software side of it.
Yeah, like set up, like integrated tap to pay, like things like that. Like, yeah,
get let all the players that are doing the software, the you know, out there, the all the technology that are writing the technology, come to those players and go, look, people love you because you guys are really good at your kiosks. You're really good at your handhelds. You're really good at this and that. Open that world up to let people develop their dream ideal system, overall system.
Yeah. And I don't think it should be just customers, you know, getting the tablets. Mm-hmm. So if you have paperwork that's being done by staff in the back.
Yeah. Can they walk around and take inventory on a tablet?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen so many times like where management's like very specific, like this has to be written down. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why can't the person just pull the computer out and do it on that? It's like, no, we do it. This system, it's written down and then you transfer it. Cool. And like, yeah, it's just so like, it's got to be done this way because it's been done this way kind of thing. It's like, you can get, you know, someone a $50 tablet. The tablets are dirt cheap nowadays. And for certain things like that, where you just need it to open up an Excel sheet or just some software that's running one software. You don't need a ton of RAM. You don't need the expensive.
We had $50 tablets just Velcroed on the walls in the kitchen.
Yeah, when it's running one piece of software that they shouldn't be doing anything else, then that's perfect. Like, have that. And then, yeah, you cut out. You make someone more efficient, and that's how you, like we always say, that's how you pay a respectable wage. That's how you're able to do all that and still make you, because at the end of the day, you don't want to just pay people money. You want to be able to be making yourself some money, too. And that's how you do it. Take care of everyone.
Plus, good employees that nowadays you're going to keep the ones that that see that you're evolving into technology and you're taking advantage of those things. Then they feel like they're working for a company that's actually, you know, growing into the future and is like on it.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, the old school. Well, we do it this way. That's the nail in the coffin.
You just put a wall up in front of any progress for buy-in is once you tell me. And your best employees are going to. Yeah. No one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
And then also we were talking about a second ago, like being able to give those cooks and stuff the power to be able to trim away from those kitchen manager. There's a kind of like traditional old school management of like, I'm the person here watching everyone doing the couple paperwork things, but like I'm getting, you know, a couple bucks more than you an hour. But like, what am I really doing? This is another spot where you can start trimming that fat is pull that tablet out and all right, everyone. Pass it down the line, like inventory your station. How much, what do you got left on so we can make tomorrow's prep sheets and I can do the order. Go, someone, here's a par sheet on Excel. Throw it in there. Count celery. Mm-hmm. How many stocks are there? Six? All right, we need 10 in.
That's even the transition of the whole entire industry. Yeah. That's going more towards that,
Yeah, use that technology to help empower your people, to give them the pay they need, but make sure you're getting the work out of them and you're able to trim those higher like paying spots and like... because that's the only way you're going to be able to take care of people is just spreading out some of that responsibility. So that way you're able to justify paying them more.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll go back to the customer experience. You know, we touched a little bit on the kiosks, the self-ordering kiosks. What about digital menus?
I think that digital menus are something that people might be intimidated by, but the ease of entry of those is insane. What you get the... go on Amazon, go on somewhere Best Buy,
get the cheapest
TVs you can with these smart TVs. Some of them, all of them USB to a Chromecast or else they'll have SIM card ports and stuff like that. And you can basically turn them into modern day chalkboards.
That's how I started. Exactly. You can go to Costco and buy $150 now cheap. You don't need to be good quality. I mean,
it's showing
one static picture of text. Exactly. But then, like you said, you just digitally do it on Canva or something, create a one page, put that on a drive card in the TV, and that's it. And the easiest thing is updating prices, changing items. It's one card.
Yeah, back in the day in the old school cathode ray TVs, if you left it on there, it would work even when you turned it off. It'd still have the it'd even have the menu on there even when you turned it off. Yeah. But yeah, the there are super inexpensive ways to get in there, and especially if you're Chromecasting, you can have your computer in the back of the house. It also should be running your audio, should be running a handful of other things. That way you're saving on not having these big systems that are expensive. But all these things can be ran off one computer in the back, and you can have that. You can go and have live specials on there and go up there, run out of something, take it off the menu board, strike through it if you want, put a little X graphic over it, yeah. But do whatever. 2 seconds and you're updating your digital menu board. You look pro, yeah. But you're doing it for the cost of whatever your laptop that you should already have to do so many other things, though it's something you should have already. Mm-hmm. So the cost ends up being $50 for a Chromecast setup, a little like a plug-in, and then whatever the TV costs.
Yeah. A couple $100, you got a digital menu board.
Yep. Yeah, you're set up, like looking super pro. Mm-hmm.
You can go. I've been at the food shows and things where, you know, we're partnered next to like a big just company that does have digital menu boards, and there's a whole nother level if you have a bigger chain of restaurants, mm-hmm. where then you can have one main hub that they all get swapped out at, that they all do different things, you know, and for that I would recommend go get a, you know, because you need to see it in one spot and run it all. Go get a company that's going to do it. But even that, it wasn't expensive.
Yeah, but and then there's cool perks you can run with that. Is like you can start doing integrated advertising on your TV sets. Mm-hmm. And now when you're doing like the game or whatever, you got the football up on all your TVs. And when it cuts to the regular commercials, throw your stuff up there because it's your stream. It's feed going through your feed. And now you're doing, you know... Dave's Bar, like specials Wednesday, yep. We're doing half price wings, like you see that, like and there's an association seeing the NFL going and then seeing your bars things commercial, that you're going to relate that to the quality of the commercials that would normally be playing there. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna be like, oh shit, this is a, you know, like
this is quality place.
Exactly.
No, there's a lot of cost benefits to it. That's what I was saying. It will pay for itself, mm-hmm. if you're at that level too.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get the whole spectrum.
Yeah,
mom and pop,
cool
one spot. Yeah. You can also have it. Don't think you can't.
Yeah, and use the tool to the most of its ability. And yeah, that's with digital menu boards, super easy to get into. And there's so many different layers of like what you're able to play with. Like at Chase Center, we just had a super upgraded version of what you're talking about. We had a server in the server room that was running all the boards, and a tech guy that ran around like updating stuff. But like realistically, he was just had
the main
screen.
Hub.
But he's like had each screen just kind of copying like what was on there, and he would just go from hub to hub, and it was just like little systems inside of itself, but like it was a big version of like the simple software we're talking about. So you can look like, you know, a pro stadium and like have your setup on par with that, or like whatever, you know, the top people in the industry are doing for like not much.
How you look. Yeah. And the digital menu board, it is going to open up a different world, mm-hmm. in the sense of like, even I don't want to tap into it because we can talk about this. It could be its own its own podcast session of like fluctuating pricing. And those kind of fees that are going to start happening because of restraints to like supplies and demand, you know, it's like, so should that be reflected live on the menu pricing? Those kind of conversations are already had behind the scenes where Wendy's is testing it out in 5 locations. You know, there's a lot of pros and cons to that too, but it's just a whole nother world. It's going to be opened up with the digital menus.
Yeah.
So buzzards and alert systems, what are your guys' thoughts on those, on giving somebody a buzzard or texting somebody, you know, your order's ready or your table's ready?
I like that when you can go to a restaurant now and they'll alert you, you put your name in, you feel like you're being acknowledged.
Yeah.
And I think definitely now with everyone walking around with a cell phone, there's no more need in buying these big rumble packs and all of that. So it's definitely gives you a peace of mind as a customer, knowing that I'm going to get called. I'm in a line, I'm in a format that's actually, they're going to call me, whatever. But I mean, there's also the fact that like, do these restaurants actually have those people keep waiting around? You know, we were talking about the con of that. If I can go and put my name in, but am I going to go do that at 5 restaurants in a row?
Yeah. Like a lot of them. A lot of restaurants, if they're using like Yelp or OpenTable and stuff, like I have a lot of digital setups. And honestly, when I see those, and I kind of avoid those restaurants because there'll be, you know, 100 people deep, and all of a sudden it's like 2-hour wait. And then half the people in there don't end up taking it. And then, so then 20 minutes later, you're getting a phone call, but you've already walked down to another right. restaurant and figured out where you're going to go eat. And so they've shown like the physical buzzers like have yeah. a more strong retention. Stickiness uh-huh. like for customers. You retain those customers a lot because they have something that's tying them to the location versus walking down the street right. and asking the next couple places where so they're I think the physical buzzers have like a huge pro. There's a cost in them of the initial cost mm-hmm. And then the product of like has to sit somewhere. You got to figure out like if you're going to do something a little more sleek and fun looking, or if you're just going for some traditional old school big giant like plastic coaster. But
yeah, you know, it actually that goes back to my, I don't ever leave a place if they give me a buzzer, and I wait outside
yeah.
and I hold on. It would take me a lot more to go return the buzzer and then go somewhere else. Whereas if I would just be fishing, if I had it on a cell phone, you know, I'm just going from place to place yeah. doing that. So it is the experience that you're having on the back end.
Yeah, it's free, but I mean, you kind of pay for, you get what you pay for,
yep. Yep.
like on those. So yep. I feel like you can sign up on to have that list and stuff. But also, yeah, if it's not working, then it's like one of those things like I have. But and plus older guests and young kids might be satisfied with this option. You lose the ability to just give like, you know, if you're a snack stand, like, all right, when this buzzes, because I grew up down in Charleston and in Miami, and like you go to the beach and you have the yeah. Spots that are like have the snack bars or whatever, and you run back to the sand, like, but it's like, you know, Mama Dukes will send me out, be like, here's $5, you know, go grab whatever. But they don't want you hanging around the snack bar or whatever. He's like, all right, come back, you got the buzzer. And then same thing with elderly, like customers, and mm-hmm. it's all about, like we were talking about gluten and gluten-free earlier, and like do you want to bring those customers in? So it's a choice. Like, do you don't want to alienate? So like, if you can have that option of like having something they can physically come out to, mm-hmm. I think gone are the days of like anything besides QSR spots doing like ticketed where they're yelling out numbers and stuff right. or names and stuff. Yeah. Like they're killer if you got the crowd standing right there in front of you. Uh-huh. But once you're in like a food hall or something like that and they're walking all over, you have same thing, like you're at the beach, you're doing something, you're in a park or somewhere, a space where people are going to kind of wander, or if you want to keep them at your restaurant instead of going next door and being like, hey, you what you got, what you yeah, got, you yeah, got yeah. Hey, hey, you guys over here is Charlie,
yeah, maybe like, I'll put my number over here,
yeah. It's like,
I mean, I would do that. I mean, if I was hungry, it's kind of like going to a food court, throw your number out, whoever's gonna feed me first.
Totally. Yeah. And that also, we've talked about that before, knowing where your customer's at and mm-hmm. going and setting yourself up to get that customer. Mm-hmm. So if you know the customer's at a point where they're gonna go buy whatever is like, hey, I'm hungry right now, I'm gonna eat whatever, and you got to do some tricks to make sure, like,
hold him to a leash.
That dude's hungry as hell right now. Let me make sure like he's not going next door or whatever. But also, you know, it is a cost. It is something that's sitting there, and right. some people might be like, you know, something is better than nothing. And if the open table and stuff will use it, then let me take advantage of those. So it's kind of like set yourself up for what you need. But
and even that cost, you could defer it. I've seen those buzzers have local realty companies on.
Totally.
Them. So they're paying for it.
Same thing like the shopping carts at the supermarket.
Yeah,
That right advertising there, pays you got an for advertisement.
So there, you got to look at that. You can get creative and
You've done a really good job bringing that up before of like partnering up with like mm-hmm. you know Rockstar Lounge or something. Hey guys, I need umbrellas.
You
I
have
need
to understand
this.
You have a valuable business. You have thousands of people that are walking through every day, and who wants to tap into that? The realty companies that have no people walking through every day, you know, that are lucky to have somebody pick up the phone and call them and say, I'm interested in a home.
Yeah.
So you need to like, they call it, you know, just like pray and spray, put it all out there. Find the companies that need to do totally. That.
And that's something you brought up that I'll always kind of circle back around. Mm-hmm. So the customers, listeners should pick up on that one, because it's like a lesson that won't be like dropped in, like, if you didn't listen to episode one, you wouldn't get this tip. That's one of those,
it's
like
the, it's the value when you're a restaurant owner, and I've done it many years, a family where you're slaving in your business, and you think no one else wants part of this. I'm slaving, no one else wants part of this. Believe me, you have a lot of value, and they will, companies will, Coca-Cola will give you free umbrellas as long as their name's on it. You know, and you got to look into that.
Just and ask.
Yes, and realize that you do have a lot of value.
But yeah, whenever that comes up, I always make a point. That's perfect. Like, people at home got to like ask for what you can get. Like,
yeah, what's the worst thing? They're going to say no. And I never had a company really say no because I was, you know, just look at the people you're going to be reaching every day.
I love it, guys. These are all great examples of how to spend smartly on digital tools. But are there any situations when the classic pen and paper are better tools?
You know, it's funny because pre-COVID, I would go in and talk to restaurants and try and sell them on software, and they would be like, "See that clipboard over there? That's what I use. That pen and paper, I've been doing inventory on forever. I'm not changing." COVID changed that. COVID took it to where like digital is the way everyone's kind of thinking now. And a lot of pen and paper was like abolished at that point, you know, just kind of like, we're not using this anymore. And is the more that we communicate even through digital tools, it makes it, we're just realizing it makes it a lot easier to search, you know, history, to track things. I don't know if there's any situations I would go back to pen and paper necessarily, because now in my mind, I'm like, I need to track everything.
Okay. I'll ask you one question then. Mm-hmm. So your router goes out in your restaurant.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you going to do then?
Okay. Every restaurant, I did have a backup emergency plan of a knuckle scraper, yeah, and like for credit cards, and that it got used once because like the Starbucks on the floor above us like had a leak and it dumped all over our POS systems. They fried.
Yeah.
So, but it was still, and even that, I was like, I'm literally teaching people from, you know, that have never even seen a knuckle scraper how to use it. And I was like, we're getting to the point where like when a satellite goes out and your internet's not working, people are just gonna be like, I don't know what to do. Because we're slowly transitioning to that. I mean, if you're used to bringing on 100 people for lunch, how can you quickly transition your entire staff to pick up pen and paper and then change your systems to that? Pre-training. That's
train them. If you're going to rely on Wi-Fi and you know the router's going to go out, it's pretty simple to have a ticket book in a drawer, mm-hmm, somewhere.
We had an emergency plan for all of that. Yeah. But yeah, thank God it got used once, twice, yeah, but you do have to have a backup.
That's one thing, like your perspective of like what happens. It never happened to me, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen to anyone
else. That's exactly how people get their pants around their ankles and like get caught in that situation because, just because it doesn't happen to you. So,
But I have seen some restaurants
at
go.
At Chase Center, like we had 18,000 people in house.
Yeah.
And when the routers go out, the server room went down.
Yeah.
And you have to have those kind of things and plans in place. Same thing at Apple's happened before. Stations, you know, they're putting 300, they're in the middle of service. They've got, you know, each menu board's got 150 people waiting, then those things go out. You have to have those systems and plans in place.
Yeah.
I'm
curious, do big companies, is McDonald's, are they just going to shut their door and say, we're at our internet's out?
Yeah,
they're not. Are they trained to actually? You know, I mean, that's interesting.
They have plans, like, mm-hmm, yeah, because a lot of that stuff catches them like off guard.
Yeah,
like,
I'm curious.
Like, I've heard stories of people like, I went to this Taco Bell. It was late night, and like everything went down. So they had a bunch of, like, you have a line of drunk people, and like a manager there on site might take it upon themselves, like, just make tacos and burritos and just give it out, because like it's not worth the hassle of like people. But if it's like middle of the day, the spot, so sometimes they'll shut down. They have a weight of cost of that, of like and then it's if their system's even able. And that's the thing too, if you rely on kiosks only and stuff, and then that goes down.
That's why
I
asked that. You're like, literally changing the way everything is, like your ordering habits.
So recently 911 services were lost in a couple states, mm-hmm, because in three states away, because they're contracted out to a third party. So three states away, someone hit a power line and a pole, and it put services out at that 911 call center. So three states away, there's a whole state without 911 services, mm-hmm, because a power pole was hit. So if 911 services seem pretty important, a lot more important than a cheeseburger. So that's something to think about. Like when... You do, like, as the world transitions, the kiosks, and like asking yourselves, like, is full automation, or that's where your employees can be powerful tools, like if you have these plans and you have the pre-site to kind of make sure you're covered in these situations. Yeah. But that's where I also wanted to point out of like, it hadn't happened to me, but we shouldn't let that cloud of like, well, it won't happen, because
what's going to happen more now that we're even more going more digital. Exactly. So that's a good point. I mean, everyone, you should be prepared to worst case on anything. Yeah. I remember it happened when that happened, it was like a quick rush to get that place going up and going.
Yeah.
Cause you realize I'm going to lose $3,000 for lunch right now.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And I have two employees that are handling the registers who I could teach real quick. But then I never opened up another restaurant without an emergency plan.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. You learn it once. And then like, it's one of those things, like the Taco Bell manager, like giving out free stuff to people who are like, definitely not driving drunk, but in the drive-through line, mm-hmm, after the bar is like, they make those choices. Same thing for you in that situation. Is it worth me, you know, losing the business, like around the point right there of like, I could have made a couple $1,000s, but then you also have the secondary cost of, okay, now these people who relied on coming here for lunch and it's a habit, now they know they've got, you know, my half hour, 45 minute lunch break. I know I can go here and get a quick lunch and be in and out. Mm-hmm. And then they go to there that one time and they can't. And so they go to the deli two doors down and then they get it and it's 30 minutes, same thing I got next door. All right. Next time I'll go there. Next
time I'll go there. Habit.
Next time I'll go there because they know that. All right, the next spot I'm not going to stop going there because they haven't. So you're basically waiting for the deli. You're like, kind of, you're out there with the scissors cutting their power line. Like, shit, I gotta get that guy back. Let me. Where's their router? Like, where's the cable?
Yeah. No, but it is good to have a backup plan.
Yeah,
we're
the
inviting
thing.
More and more things that are at controlling us.
Yeah,
and we got to take that back. You can't lose that.
Yeah, you always got to look at the old school and like. Old heads knew what they were doing. Like,
yeah,
it's on there.
There's
yeah.
a reason we're here.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also, you got to obviously, we're here telling you guys to, you know, bravely go into the future, take advantage of these new tools, but also, you know, set yourself up for success.
Yeah,
don't
adapt. But don't forget where you're coming from.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Great.
So we do have one question from our listeners.
Ooh, these
and
are fun.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is about... the self-serving robots. We touched a little bit on the kiosks, but our listener wants to know what your thoughts on those are. It's difficult for this restaurant owner to find somebody to fill that position as a server. You know, he's having trouble finding somebody that's reliable. He's thinking about going to get this robot, but he also does not want to lose the human interaction that comes with having a server.
Well, that seems to me you're going to lose some of the human interaction. That's what we're saying, like with the McDonald's kiosk. You got to figure out where to bring those things back where you can. But you also got to like weigh what you're getting and not getting and turn those positives or negatives into positives when you can. So it's like that's for my space. We're looking forward to doing a bunch of automated delivery, automated like food runners and stuff. But we're also in a QSR space that's in a multi-outlet kind of like
you have enough
facility.
Human interaction going on. It's pretty cool.
So we have our counter service we're keeping and stuff. We also we don't need someone running out to the tables and stuff. That's something where there's an interaction. You can kind of like pick and choose. But if it's like just your space. That's a decision you have to make of like, do I want that food runner going out there? The busser, like kind of like this, do I want to have someone like that? So there's, but there, I mean, when you look at the price, like, for a lease for one of those things, you can get it for, you know, what you're paying someone for one service, for a week. Mm-hmm. And so you can have your lunch guy and you can have that week of pay for them, or you can have a robot doing the same thing for three services a day, seven days a week.
Never getting tired, never not showing up.
But
I know, but it does. I'm at a crossroads with it because I know that's the way we're going. So I'm trying to fit in because right now that we're mixing humans with robots and we're trying to figure out, you know, and in the industry, I don't think it could ever just be. Well, I take the back. It might be fully robotic
later. Yeah,
you were just
saying you love the kiosk only, like restaurants.
Yeah. But when it comes to serving food, like when I think of what a robot does, they're gonna bring out plates. They're gonna cook the food. That, you know what I mean? They're not taking the order, but they're doing the actual presentation of your food. That's where I have a mixed feeling about, because when I pay for something, I want it cooked by some passion behind it, like some experience, unless it's a like if Domino's, I'm not going to care. I'm sorry, Domino's, but I'm not going to care. I already don't really, you know, go, oh yeah, it's the pizza's a pizza. Just bring it to me and it tastes the same. I'm not going to care if it's a computer in the back,
so
or
that's
a
something
robot.
That, like, I think a lot of people think that robots are going to like take over all the positions and stuff. That's not ever going to happen.
Right.
Like,
there's just certain niches it will.
Well, it's like look at what someone's doing. The more tasks you ask them to do that are unique, the less a robot's going to be able to do it.
Correct.
So your person cooking is cooking, checking in inventory, putting stuff up, prepping.
Running the fryer.
Doing multiple things. So you're never really going to have a restaurant that's just full of a couple robots because there's too many different spots that need to be filled. Mm-hmm. What you are using them as tools and like, food runners. So if you want to pay.
Food runners, simple ones. Yeah.
Another thing. So if you have counter service like QSR, if you want to pay those people more, then keep them and like we said, using that long-term equation of like zero, like or less turnover, less training, more consistency, having all those perks by keeping someone, you got to figure out where to trim the fat.
Right.
And so if I can get a food runner taken out, have that robot doing that take care of my counter service, because someone's got to put the plates on there. Someone's got to work.
Yeah, someone's still checking it as it comes out the window.
There's still a cook back there doing the stuff and stuff. So it's good ways to check your costs. And same thing with automated delivery. Having a drone take something there with these leases where they
that's
are.
That's where I think it's going to step
Uber Eats,
in.
Grubhub and stuff.
Because then you can actually make money back on your deliveries.
Minimum those guys are taking is 30% from you. Yep. And the customer is getting a 30% charge, 20% charge as well. So that's big numbers they're taking for doing nothing.
You don't for doing so. That's where it's. I think it's going to start with the
robotics.
That's
the. I think that's the biggest adaptation and stuff. Yeah. And it's where people that are skeptical. Once you tell them zero delivery fee, period. No hidden things. Yeah. Nothing like
drone,
that. And then
drone
you say that,
lease.
Like,
yep.
Drone what? I don't care how you get here. Shit.
Right.
Like,
I know.
But yeah, we're looking if we're able to get an aerial drone. Mm-hmm. We're going that route too. But we're already doing a delivery drone, the little cooler on wheels deal.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. Anything to help these people. Mm-hmm. And then me, I'm in this business to make money. At the end of the day,
I was talking
that's
to a restaurant guy. And if you're handing it to the delivery company, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to a guy this morning.
Some of those
morning.
Fees get 60%.
No, you're making zero money. Or giving, what's the point? So people go, that's
it
not on our menu.
It's like a horror movie.
This guy I was talking to this morning, he has restaurants. They're in college towns. And he's like, their biggest complaint is that we don't deliver.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I get it. He's like, we're killing our customers that are coming to us because we're trying to get this food out and we're not making anything on it. He's like, we want to transition into a delivery. We want to transition into doing that, but we're trying to figure out how we're doing it at a slow pace.
Yeah.
Because we want to make money at it also. So that's where we're talking about all these different systems and how they're going to benefit good and bad into our daily lives in restaurants. That's going to be something where a restaurateur is going to adapt right away and say, please help me make money doing this.
Yeah, because it's so easy. When you can show a customer, here's less that you have to pay for my product. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Tell me less.
Yep.
I'm here.
Yeah, everyone's making money.
Let's go. So this concludes the final part of the Cash Rules Everything Around Meals series, Cream. And we focused on where to spend smartly on the hardware and software, specifically at the front of the house. We'll go over some other front of the house spends when we talk about the dining room more later. But for our next episode, we're going to go specifically where to spend in the kitchen. We got an awesome interview with Ray from Repairs. He will, I definitely asked how to say his last name a handful of times during that repair, so he will forgive me if we're going the coward's route there. But we'll talk about, on our next episode, we're going to talk about kitchen equipment, automation, and we'll just be diving into it, just figuring out how to make the best spend in the back of the house. So that is it for us, and we will see you next week.